Last week, just a few hours before Tisha B'Av, my Aunt Devra called. It was time-sensitive and sweet, and it warmed my heart. She wanted to know how to stream our synagogue's Tisha B'Av commemoration, because even though she lives in Kansas City, she's a remote member of our community and loves our online offerings. She reminded me that it was my grandpa Jake's English Yahrzeit, but then she told me something chilling that I had forgotten, or maybe had never really learned. That on Tisha B'Av in 1941, the entire community where my grandfather was born was liquidated by the Nazis. On that day, his grandfather, David Davidovits, was murdered along with his wife, my great-great-grandmother, and countless cousins. So for me, this year, Tisha B'Av wasn't just about the destruction of the First and Second Temples, or the Edict of Expulsion from Spain, or the beginning of deportations from the Warsaw Ghetto to Treblinka in 1942. It was also the more personal tragedies that those who hate us decided, over the years, to perpetrate against us on that day. Just to rub a little more salt in our wounds. Like the mayor of New York City did when he released a video on Erev Tisha B'Av, I think can fairly be called incitement against Israel. Purportedly about Israel's prime minister, but just as easily described as incitement against anyone who considers themselves a Zionist, a supporter of Israel's right and need to exist. And since the vast majority of Jews worldwide consider themselves Zionists, more broadly, incitement against Jews. 2 days later, on the Upper West Side, two men, including a Jewish man, were stabbed by an attacker shouting, "Allahu Akbar." I've been thinking about all of this as we turn to consolation. After the heavy period leading up to the Ninth Avenue, the Shabbat immediately following is called Shabbat Nachamu, the Sabbath of Comfort. We read a passage from the book of Isaiah that comes to console the Jewish people, to inspire us to believe that things will somehow get better. For 7 Shabbatot in a row, we read passages from Isaiah designed to carry that message forward, leading us to the new year, to a moment of rebirth. Part of the wisdom here is that being comforted takes time. It's not a hug or a word of encouragement, and then we're done. For someone who has suffered a loss or trauma, it can take years, decades, even. But we believe that in time, it will get better. Sometimes, as a people, we have to think in generational time, in thousands of years. The Jewish people found inspiration in those words of Isaiah long before they witnessed the return to our ancestral homeland. It took 2 millennia, but we finally got there. The other lesson is that we comfort each other. In the book of Isaiah, God calls the prophet to comfort the Jewish people. But we know this is really something we must do for one another. So after a heavy week, communally, and for me personally, thinking about what it must have been like for my grandfather to discover that the world he'd left behind in Europe, including his entire family, was gone, I've also reminded myself of this. My grandfather lived to see, with joy, the birth of the State of Israel. He was privileged to bring me, my siblings, and our whole family to Israel in 1978. For the benign mitzvah of my sister and brother. And so even in this moment of communal darkness, as anti-Semitism reaches levels we haven't seen in our lifetimes, as anti-Israel rhetoric has become normalized, even in such a moment, we do not give up hope. We will comfort one another. We will be comforted by one another. And that's our task. Now is the time to recommit to community, to join a synagogue or renew your membership. To become more involved, more committed. That is how we find comfort. That is where we find hope. Rabbi Yoshi Zweiback is the senior rabbi at Stephen Wise Temple in Los Angeles.